the book of Acts in the chapter number 17. And in verse 11, we read as Paul went into the synagogue in Berea, he confronted a very, very good attitude. And he said in that verse, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." In this chapter, the Apostle Paul is in the midst of his second missionary journey. After casting anchor at Troas, he then received guidance and he heard the Macedonian call, and he then left the docks at Troas, setting foot on what is now European soil. Paul, he landed firstly at Neapolis. There, as he landed at Neapolis, he entered the area known as Macedonia. Entering that area, he eventually was confronted by the major colonial city of Philippi. And there, as he entered the city of Philippi, he saw great and wonderful and magnificent things happening as he preached the gospel there. He saw young Lydia's heart being opened, or their family then being converted, and he even saw a young demon girl being set free. However, this gospel success in Philippi, it did not go unnoticed. Eventually, preaching the gospel in Philippi, Paul, he was summoned to the local jail. However, Paul, being the willing, the eager, the keen evangelist that he was, even there in jail, his zeal wasn't to be abated. For there, him and Silas, they began to sing the old hymns of praise. And eventually they saw the guard of that prison gloriously saved as well. After leaving Macedonia Philippi behind, they then headed south to the city of Thessalonica. And as he entered there, he immediately got to work. After finding the local synagogue, Paul, he preached his heart out for 3 soul weeks. There he preached, there he warned, there he debated, and he even propagated the glorious claims of Jesus Christ. But Paul, just like Philippi, as he was laboring, the labors, they didn't go unnoticed. We find that as they were many saved in Thessalonica, there were some Jews who weren't saved, who were unbelieving. They did not like what was happening. They did not like individual scores coming to Christ in that city. And what did they do? Well, quite frankly, they set themselves to see Paul and Silas and the missionary band removed from Thessalonica as quickly as possible. They actually set the entire city on an uproar and placed them against Paul and his companions. Being removed out of the city of Thessalonica and being undeterred as well, Paul, rather than giving up, he pressed on with his work. And eventually, after seasons of discouragement, being removed from Thessalonica, Paul, he then met with a tremendously encouraging group of people. For here he met the believers at Berea. And as he went to Berea and went again to the local synagogue, he found that this time things were different. Yes, in Thessalonica there were some who were saved and some who listened and some who were converted. But the vast majority of the city, they were against his faithful preaching. But he found in Berea an openness, a willingness, a keenness to hear and to obey the word of God. Comparing them to where he had just been in Thessalonica, he said concerning the Bereans in verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." And as he saw the difference in response to the word of God, he said, "This is what true nobility is all about. True wisdom is found in receiving and listening and responding to the word of God." You see, true nobility is not found in what the world thinks of you, but true nobility is found in what you personally think of the word. It's found in how you treat the Bible. Oh, this morning, do you want to know true nobility, true wisdom, that attitude of being noble before men? Well, it will be found, it is sourced in your attitude towards the Scriptures. Again, in Proverbs 23, we read concerning true wisdom in verse 19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." And we're told that the wise, what do? They guide their hearts in the way of the Word of God. You see, whilst the foolish scoff at the Word of God, the wise and noble study the Word. They take time to listen to it, to learn from it, and eventually to live it in their lives. Oh, this morning the question is this. Which category do you fall into? Do you fall into the category of the foolish, those who turn their ear away at the Scriptures? Or do you fall into the category of the wise, the noble, the prudent? Do you have that listening ear, that understanding, that desire to comprehend the Bible? And not only to understand it, but to live it out. To apply it to your life and to live out what the Bible says. Because that's what happened here in Berea. Paul, he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were wise. These were wise individuals. And so this morning we want to simply consider the believers at Berea. The believers at Berea. I want you to see firstly here their preparation. Their preparation. Verse 11 we read, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. How did these individuals receive Paul's preaching? They received it with readiness of mind. The phrase here, it means with keenness, with enthusiasm. They received it enthusiastically. It actually comes from a root verb in the Greek which means to breathe hard or to pant as if you're out of breath. You know what it's like when you get excited, you get worked up about something. You pant hard, there's a change in the breathing pattern. You're excited, it grabs you. And this is exactly what was happening here. As the believers heard of Paul coming from Thessalonica to Berea to preach to them, boys, they got excited. They were ready. They were keen as he preached. Yes, you read in the book of 1 Thessalonians that Paul wrote to that church later about their time. And yes, you discover that there were those who then were saved. A great number were saved in Thessalonica. A church was formed. Yes, it took time, but eventually they got there. But that was not the case with the Bereans. They were ready. They were waiting, as it were, on Paul. It was a completely different story to those in Thessalonica. As they heard of Paul coming, boy, they couldn't wait. They were, as it were, waiting on Paul. They were ready. Ready to hear what Paul had to say. You see, when you come to the house of God, you are to come well prepared, not ill prepared. You're to come with readiness of mind. Wonder this morning, did you come to church like that? Come with eagerness. Come with keenness. Come with enthusiasm. Did you come with that attitude like the Bereans? Lord, speak. Speak to me. Have a word in season for my soul. Lord, here I am. I'm just a poor, wretched sinner. Lord, I need a word in season to help me to walk with thee this week. Lord, did you come with such an attitude like that? Did you come with that readiness? Prepared spiritually? On the Sabbath day, taking that time, saying, Lord, speak to me. Did you come with that passion and that enthusiasm? The wisest man in the Bible, Solomon, looking back at the end of his life and writing the book of Ecclesiastes, he said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Solomon, he looked back at the end of his life, and he just simply thought about all of the mistakes that he had made and all of the lessons that he had learned from it. And I imagine that as he built that temple, yes, there were times in his life when he got so busy as a king that he didn't take that time to prepare himself to enter the temple and to worship. And so what does he say here, writing, giving that counsel? Be more ready to hear. As you go to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. You see, your attitude to God's house is to be one of readiness, not reluctance and reticence. It is to come with a ready mind. Oh, did you come as the Bereans came to the synagogue and heard Paul was coming and Silas? Did you come with that readiness this morning? Could it be said that you were, as it were, out of breath, panting, with that enthusiasm? Did you have that passion, waiting to hear what God would say to you? Did you come as we were even singing there in that hymn, as it reflected the attitude of Samuel? Did you say, Master, speak? Master, speak, because thy servant, he's listening. Oh, were you ready to hear not merely the voice of a man, but the voice of God? The voice of God through his word. You know, there was an elderly man who had serious hearing problems for a long time. Eventually he went to the doctor and he got himself a new pair of hearing aids. And he then came back a month later for a checkup. And the doctor said to that man, well, I'm sure your family, they love the fact that you can now hear perfectly. I'm sure they love the fact that they don't have to raise their voice and shout at you just to get you to hear. And he said, oh doctor, I haven't told them yet. I just sit around and pretend I'm still deaf and listen to their conversations. This month I've changed my will 3 times already. And it is funny, but it is so true. There are those who come, and yes, they can hear physically, but they don't listen spiritually. Oh, did you come with that readiness, that eagerness? Did you come ready and willing to listen? Listen to what God would have to say to you. Their preparation, they came with that readiness of mind. But I want you to notice secondly here, their investigation. Verse 11, we read, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It was one thing to come ready, but it was another thing to follow that through and to listen. And we find that as they listened, they then did something. As they left the synagogue on the Sabbath that day, the work, it didn't stop there. Yes, they had listened well, but the work didn't stop there. We find that they searched the scriptures daily. Now the word searched here, it's a very, very interesting one. In the original, it means to thoroughly judge or to sift up and down. In the Greek culture, it was actually used of a legal team. You know what it's like in the realm of law? They have to go through every case and they have to consider every argument and they have to weigh it up. It was also used in the forensic realm. It has the idea of studying carefully, studying thoroughly, knowing the case inside out. And here we find that as the Bereans, as they heard the word of God, what did they do? They went back during the week. And they were like, as it were, a law team investigating a certain case. They were leaving no stone unturned. They were studying what Paul had said for themselves. They went throughout that week and they searched daily. Every single day. Every day. And then they came back the next Sabbath with that same attitude. Oh, they searched and they sifted through the scriptures. They took what was said home with them and they studied it for themselves. You see, the word of God is not merely to be sat under. It is to be studied, to be taken home and contemplated for yourself. Wondered again, do you have that Berean attitude? Yes, it's good to come and it's good to listen, and good even to listen well and to listen intently. But you know the work doesn't stop there. In fact, it's just beginning. I wonder, do you take that time during especially the Sabbath day to think about what was said in the house of God? Do you take that time during the rest of the week to mull over what has been said, to study it? Remember, this is the first day of the week. This is the Lord's Day. This is not the end of the week. This is the beginning of the week. And the Lord gives you this day. Why? So that you may be taught. So that you may be instructed. That you can then go out the rest of the week and take the lessons learned on the Sabbath day and apply them the rest of the week. I wonder, do you do that? Do you take the word that is heard today and think about it tomorrow? Because you will find if you do, it will give you grace. It will give you strength. It will be that wheat, that manna, that honey to your soul. David said in Psalm 119, in verse 148, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." What a picture. King David. King David. King for many, many years, many decades. Obviously a very, very busy man. And so what did he do in the night watches? At the very very darkness of the night, what was he doing? He was meditating. He was turning over the pages of Scripture. Christ again said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The word search here, it means search diligently. It was used in the Greek culture to apply to a miner, someone who was searching and scanning for precious metals, looking with that anxiety, again, leaving no piece of ground unturned. He wasn't going to stop until he found that precious gem. You see, the Scriptures are not merely to be listened to, but they are to be learned. You're to be giving them time and learning them. Taking that time to study what you have heard. Yes, it's good to listen. Good to listen intently and to listen well. But it doesn't stop there. There must then be that studying, that thinking, that meditating upon what you have heard. And if you don't do this, then it will be of little value to you. Yes, you could have listened well on the Sunday, but if you don't remember on the Wednesday, then what good is that? All you hear will be lost. You know, a preacher entered the church one morning with his young son, and at the back of the church there was an offering box. That's where you placed your offering as you were going out the door. And he placed one coin into the box. He took the service and he found there weren't many attending, and those who did attend, well, they weren't really listening all that well. And after the service he went to the back to lift the offering and he found that nobody gave anything. It was just that one coin that he had put in himself. And the young boy turned to him and said, "Dad, if you had put more in, then you would have gotten more out." And you know, listening to Scripture is just like that. The more you put in, the more that you'll get out. And the Bereans, they realized this. They realized this. They not only listened well, but they then investigated. They gave themselves to the week. During the week, they studied what Paul had said. Their preparation, their investigation. I want you to see thirdly here their evaluation. Evaluation. Verse 11. We read, "They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." The Bereans during the week, they were like a busy legal team. They went home and they didn't stop. They frantically and methodically pored over what they had heard. Now, why did they do this? Yes, it was for their own benefit, but it was also, as we have read, to see whether those things were so. In other words, they were testing. They were evaluating what Paul and Silas had said. They weren't just accepting it willy-nilly and blindly. No, they were putting it to the test. Remember, at this stage, the vast majority of believers, they would have only just been familiar with a copy of the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament as we have it today. And Paul was coming along in a synagogue, preaching to Jews and to Gentiles, and he was preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching the Messiah. He was preaching the Anointed One, the Elect One, the Selected One, the Chosen One of God, sent to redeem His people. Yes, he preached His crucifixion, but also His resurrection. And this would have been entirely new to the people at Berea. And so what did they do? Well, as they heard this new and strange, startling teaching, they went back and they got their Old Testament. And they saw, well, is there a Messiah predicted? Is there one prophesied in it? What type of person was this Messiah? Did he really have to die? Did he really have to rise again? And so we find that they didn't just take everything that Paul said blindly. They actually put Paul, what he said, to the test, and they tested what he said by Scripture. You see, whilst preaching needs attention, it also demands examination. It needs to be tested by the Word of God. I say it to you, and I say it honestly this morning, no matter what pulpit it is, whether it is this pulpit or any other pulpit, you put it to the test. Whatever a man gets up and says he's a word from God, well, you put it to the test. You examine it. You test it scripturally. Place it up against the yardstick of Scripture and see whether what they're saying is true or what they're saying is false. As I'm saying this, you might say, well, is that not doubting them? Is that not doubting the man in the pulpit? Is it not doubting him? Well, what did Paul say? These Bereans, they did this. They examined him personally, what he was saying, and what did he say they were? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In other words, it was wise. It was a prudent thing for them to do. And it is a wise thing for you to do that, child of God. Don't just drink in everything that you hear. Say, well, yes, this man may have said this, but is it scriptural? Place it beside the Scripture and see, does it add up? 1 John 4, we read in verse 1, John was writing to younger believers and he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." John refers to himself in this epistle as John the Aged. He was getting older. He was becoming more wiser. And he was counseling young believers. And what did he say? He said, in the last days, there will be many that will arise. False Christs, false prophets, antichrists. And so you have to test them. You have to test them and scrutinize what they say to see whether they're true. You see, what is preached should not only be studied, it should be scrutinized. Put the pulpit to the test. It's not wrong to do that. In fact, it's wise to do that. It's wise. And I even say to you personally, if you ever find something heretical or something incorrect from my own mouth, then don't be afraid to tell me. Because that's scriptural. That's scriptural. But of course, the flip side of that is this. Is if what you find being said is true, then there needs to be obedience. Obedience to what is said. Matthew Henry said, "The doctrine of Christ does not fear scrutiny. It demands it." It demands it. And so I say to you, scrutinize. Scrutinize what you hear. Don't just accept it automatically as truth. That's what the Bereans did. And Paul commended them for doing so. Their preparation, their investigation, their evaluation. I want you to see lastly here their application. Verse 11, they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. In the Greek New Testament, there are two words for our one word, English word, receive. The one means to hear by the ear, but the other means to listen with the heart. And this is the second one here. They listened with the heart. What they had heard, what they had studied, what they had scrutinized, actually impacted and influenced the way they behaved throughout the week. Now remember, this is a missionary setting, a missionary context. Paul was going to Berea. He was going to those who perhaps many had never heard the gospel before. And so he was preaching primarily to unbelievers. And so when they got what Paul was saying, and they studied it, and they poured through it, what was the response? We find that many actually were saved. You say, how do I know that? Well, verse 12, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Paul was preaching to unconverted, and they took that time. They studied for themselves what Paul was saying. And when they studied it for themselves, they said, you know what, he's right. That man, Jesus, that he was preaching, he is the anointed of God. He is the Messiah. He had to die. He could have died no other way but by crucifixion. He's right. And I'm going to rest my eternity on what Paul was saying. You see, hearing the word and searching the word and testing the word should then lead to applying the word. Taking time to apply it to your heart. Yes, it's good to listen. It's even better to learn, to study. But oh, best of all, live it. Apply what you hear to your heart. And if you're saved, you apply that word to your heart and you will find it will sanctify you. It will cleanse you. It will conform you. And you know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, take that time to apply and to study what has been said. And you may find, just as it was in Berea, that it may actually lead to your conversion. It may lead to you coming to Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, we all know that verse very well, don't we? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But let's stop for a moment. Let's think, what does that mean? Does faith solely come through hearing? Just listening to the word of God? Or is there something else that is needed? Is it enough just to listen well and then not respond? No. Because in the context, Romans 10, verse 10 says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth. In other words, yes, there must be hearing of truth, but there then must be responding to truth. You must have that exercise of the heart towards the word of God. Oh, child of God, the Bereans here, what are they doing? They're teaching us a blueprint, or giving us to us a blueprint on how to listen to the word of God. Listen to it. Learn it. Then scrutinize it. And then live it. Apply it to your life. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. May God make us a church like Berea, those who search the Scriptures and study them.